Well, good morning. We're thinking about wisdom for faithful living. So our theme for the year is faithful presence. And as a church community, we want to be embedded in the places where God puts us. And we want to be faithful there, don't we? Faithful to God and his calling upon us as the people of God. And so we thought it would be a good idea to look at the book of Proverbs, because the book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom. And I just want to encourage you, this is the Baptist in me coming out, be fully immersed in the book of Proverbs over the next month or so. I've been listening and re-listening to the book of Proverbs and letting its truths kind of wash over me. And we're going to take a thematic approach to the book of Proverbs and touch down on some different aspects that the book of Proverbs kind of looks at. So you won't really get a comprehensive picture of the book unless you take time to sit in it yourselves. And so I just want to really encourage you to do that. There's a lot of wisdom there for us. Disclaimer. let's pray and then let's get stuck into the message for today and thinking about our words. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you today. You are our Lord, you are our rock, and you are our Redeemer. We pray that your words would speak powerfully to us this morning, and that you might encourage us to use our words to bring glory and honour to you and to think them through. We pray that you lead and guide this time and really impress upon our spirits those places in our lives that you want to speak into. We ask that you would challenge, that you would rebuke, that you would encourage, that you would lead us. For Jesus' sake and his glory we pray. Amen. All right, there is outlines on the side table and on the back table if you want to follow on or if you're a note taker. But essentially, I want to talk about the weight of our words. And I'll start off by telling an embarrassing story, because that's always a good way to start, isn't it? Years ago, I was much younger, so keep that in mind. I was at a church camp, and we were outside the cabins with our group, and we were making a lot of noise. And next to us was another cabin. It was actually a family who were missionaries from our church. They'd come home for furlough and they'd come along to the church camp to engage in our church's life. And they had a little baby. So they were trying to put the baby to sleep in this room. And we were being noisy and not really mindful of their situation at all. And eventually, you know, in exasperation, no doubt, they waited up for some time. They came out and had a word to us. And it was stern and assertive, but it wasn't rude and it wasn't unreasonable. It was quite fair. And they just said, you know, can you keep the noise down? And so we heard that and we went back into our cabin, which was next door to theirs. And we did what sometimes immature people do. We started talking about them. And we started talking about them in a way that wasn't respectful or life-giving. And, you know, the next morning I didn't think twice about it. We went to bed and I came outside and I looked left and there they were. And I hypocritically, good morning. And then this woman came over to me and she looked quite downcast. And she said, you know, the walls are really thin in this place. And I just had a moment when all the blood just drained out of my face and I felt deeply ashamed and I began to ponder the things that I'd said, the things that we'd said. And I knew that they were hurtful and unfair and rude. I don't know if you've ever had that experience of being caught out, speaking about someone negatively before, but it's an awful thing, isn't it? You come face to face with your own words. You know, in one sense, words are very fleeting. You kind of say them and you put them out there and then they disappear, don't they? But in another sense, they're very tangible and powerful. And they can shape lives. You know, words have weight. They have weight. I want to give you three reasons why we should think about words as having weight this morning. The first of which is words have weight because they actually reveal our character. Did you know that? They actually reveal what's inside our hearts in a way that few other things do. Our words have weight because they reveal our character. Well, our words also have weight because they have real fruit in the lives of others. Do you know that? Our words impact others. For good or for ill. And our words have weight because the wise teacher actually says that in the tongue is the power of life and death. That's high stakes, isn't it? High stakes. You know, the first time we get a sense that words are powerful in the Bible is when God says, "Let there be." And there is. All of creation came into existence with the power of God's words. And as image bearers, our words, they have weight. So we ought to think about that, oughtn't we? And think about how we use our words. And so I want us to ponder that this morning. I want us to think about that and think about what our speech, well, what weight our speech has. Is that okay? That's where we're heading. So words have weight because they reveal our character. In Proverbs 12, 17 to 19, we read, "An honest witness tells the truth, but a false witness tells lies. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise bring healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment." Here we have a profound statement about the weight of words. At first glance, it's a statement about either telling the truth or lying, isn't it? And I think if we want to be wise people, according to the teacher in the book of Proverbs, one thing that we need to be committed to in our speech is that we need to be people who speak the truth. We need to be people who speak the truth in season and out of season because we know that the truth is good. Now, when you think about the very purpose and essence of words, the purpose and essence of words is to build relationship, build community, isn't it? And if we use our tongue to lie and deceive, what are we doing? We're doing the very opposite thing. We're destroying community and we're putting up a veil to relationship. And so the teacher of the proverb says, "An honest witness tells the truth, a false witness tells lies." Now, in some senses, this is like a lot of the proverbs in the sense of it's kind of redundant in some ways, like it's so obvious. Of course a dishonest witness lies. Of course an honest witness tells the truth. But what is the author saying? I think the author is saying that our words reflect our character. In an age where words are like vapor, they're put out there without much thought at all, and people make all kinds of commitments or promises that they have no intention of keeping, this is a good reminder. Reminder from the wisdom of God. If you're going to be a faithful presence, then one of the things that you need to be is a person who speaks the truth. The writer of the Proverbs goes on, doesn't he? He says, "The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise bring healing." What pierces? What wounds? Well, reckless and careless words pierce and wound, don't they? Who is the kind of person that is unwise or reckless? Well, they're the kind of person that uses their words to cut people down, to slice at them, to dice them, to attack them. Who is the wise person? Well, someone that uses their lips to bring healing and encouragement and life. Our words are a revelation of our heart. They're a revelation of our character. He He goes on to say, truthful lips endure forever, but the lying tongue lasts only a moment. And so we're encouraged, aren't we, here, to think about our words, because our words reveal our character. But before I go on to the so what, perhaps I should move that back so you're not distracted. Before I go on to the so what, the ultimate wise man is the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Here's what he says about our words. As a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. What is Jesus saying? Well, your words reveal your character. So they matter. So one of the point number one, the main thing I want you to hear today is your words have weight. So think about them. Think about them. You know, self-reflection is a useful exercise. We were watching Wicked this week. Our family is a musical family. We love musicals. Jazzy loves Wicked, the musical. We were watching it. It's kind of the prequel to The Wizard of Oz. And there's a whole song about living an unreflective life and how wonderful it is to just skim the surface. Well, it's a silly song. And actually, the character that sings it doesn't live that way. But these words remind us that we need to live an examined life. We need to think about who we are and what we say and what we do. You know, back when I was at college, which is a long time ago now, about 25 years ago, I went to a preaching class because I had no idea on how to preach. You know, I wanted to do it, but I had no idea. So I went to a preaching class, and one of the things that they told us was, from time to time, you should make yourself watch a video of yourself. You should make yourself listen to yourself. And I don't know if you've ever had that experience of hearing your own voice or watching yourself on a television screen, but it can be quite confronting, can't it? And you suddenly see those little quirks that you have that you were blissfully unaware of. You know, when I first started preaching, I think I've told you this before, but I used to take my wedding ring off, flip it over. I can't even get the thing off now. My fingers are too fat. But I used to flip it over and put it back on over and over again. And I remember that, you know, one day after my preaching class, I said to Ram, is there anything that I need to think about as I'm preaching? Well, you flick your ring over and over again. And sometimes I'm not even listening. I'm just mesmerized by, what's he doing with his ring? And so I was like, okay, I'll try not to do that. And I was feeling brave that day, so I said, is there anything else? She said, well, you kind of sway, and sometimes it makes me feel seasick. And I was like, well, that's not the goal, you know. And I got it to, because it was a nervous thing, right? So I kept doing it. So she actually, when I started swaying, she'd go, she wasn't praying. It looked like she was praying. But she was saying, stand still, stand still. And, you know, during COVID, I had the experience of watching myself over and over again. It was very confronting. You know, like, thank you for your kindness to me and all that you put up with. You know, like, all that to say, that's useful feedback for me. Like, it's useful to reflect and learn from your experience, isn't it? It is, right? And I think it's useful for us to reflect on our speech. So how does that happen? Like, I think one thing we can do is we can, from time to time, we can look at, you know, a bit more thoughtfully in the kind of words that we say. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes I just throw things out there. Sometimes I just say things that I might believe, but I'm not lying, but I want to express a thought and have people bounce back, and I learn from that process. So sometimes I sound very silly, I say silly things. I don't know if that's you, but sometimes I do that. And so it's useful for me to think about my own speech and try and think about what it does for others and what it reveals about me. I think that's important, to reflect on your own speech. It's a hard thing to do, but I think it's an important thing to do. Maybe if you're feeling brave, like I did with Reem when it came to preaching, you could ask those that you love and love you, you know, what is the net effect of my language, of my speech? Now, that's a brave thing to do, and probably your natural impulse will be to be self-defensive, you know, because usually when we speak, there's a whole process going on in here that rationalise what we say, right? But other people aren't privy, probably, thank goodness, to what's going on up here, right? And so they don't see the rationalisation, but they do get the net impact of your speech. So maybe it's worth it to ask someone, hey, what does my speech reveal about me? What impact do my words have on you? Maybe. You'd have to be brave, wouldn't you? Maybe also we need to be people who tell the truth. Not maybe, we definitely need to be people who tell the truth. Now, there's all kinds of reasons for lying, isn't there? Some of them self-protective. You know, we want to hide something we're ashamed of. Some of them are about not hurting someone else, so we feel like we can't broach the truth. But the wisdom of God says that we need to be people of the truth. And our speech really needs to reflect the truth. Now, it's my conviction as a preacher and as a reader of Scripture, and more importantly, as a disciple of Jesus, to always think about, like, sermons have behavioural implications, don't they? Like, this one's very practical. Like, I want you to speak differently because you've encountered God's Word in some way today. But I always make it a point to think about what this says about God and the gospel first, because I know where behaviour management practices can lead into a cesspool of guilt and self-condemnation. So I want to tell you some good news. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And in Him there is life. And you could do endless self-reflection on your speech without the gospel giving you life, without the radiant example of Jesus, without the imperative of the cross and the resurrection, then it's going to be a very discouraging exercise. But you draw near to Jesus and watch Him heal your heart. Watch Him shower your love, His love, on you, so some of that insecurity that leads to your lying is cast away. And it's replaced with a sense of, I am dearly loved by God. And I'm called by Him to tell the truth. Jesus can heal our hearts and make us new. And at the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. And Jesus is the healer of hearts. Are you with me? All right. Let's keep going on. So words matter because they reveal our character. Words matter and have weight because they bear real fruit in the lives of others. Did you know this? Your words are really powerful and they impact those people around you who you're in community with. They impact your kids, they impact your spouse, they impact your friends, they impact your siblings, they impact everyone around you. And so we need to remember that our words have weight because they have real fruit. They bear real fruit. So I want to read to you Proverbs 13, 1 to 3. It says, a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a mocker does not respond to rebukes. From the fruit of their lips, people enjoy good things, but the unfaithful have an appetite for violence. Those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly come to ruin. Another reason that words have weight is because they bear fruit in other people's lives. Words have impact and power for good or for ill. In short, words matter. In Proverbs 13, 1 to 3, the teacher says there's a few different ways in which our words impact others. In the first instance, he recognizes that a wise son is someone who heeds the father's words, and only the mocker does not heed rebuke or correction. If words bear fruit, then it's worth listening to them, right? This, in fact, affirms that words have power. The wise person is made wise by listening to wise words, even if they be words of correction. Even if they be, how hard it is to be corrected, isn't it? It takes a fair dose of humility. But words that are correcting for our good have a net positive impact. Here we see that words, as we have mentioned, shape character. True listening to wise words and corrected words creates a good character. In the second verse, so verse 2, the tongue of the wise adorns knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. We live in an age where people feel the need, don't we, to have an opinion on everything. But we must come to a realization of our limitations as human beings and be more careful about what we espouse knowledge about. The fact is that you and I have many limitations to our knowledge and our understanding, don't we? And for that reason, it's good sometimes to go, I just don't know about that. Or I couldn't comment with any kind of intelligence on that subject. I don't know about you, but sometimes I have a go anyway. It usually doesn't end well. And so we should think about our speech whether it's coming from a position of real wisdom or if it's coming from a position of real ignorance. Because if our words bear fruit, then they should arise from insight and understanding, right? Not folly. The reality, the writer of the Proverbs admonishes us to guard our lips. That's an interesting picture, isn't it? Yesterday we were walking through the park in Albury, and there was a guard because they were doing a light show. He was keeping a watch around the light show ornaments and all these lovely lights. And he was pretty bored, so he had an overly long chat with us. But he was keeping guard, right? And the wisdom of God says we should guard our lips. We should guard our lips. And so that's important. That's important for us. Then Proverbs 15:1-4, he goes on to say, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. You know, gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. It's a beautiful trait. And when it comes to our speech, one of the things that we can ask Holy Spirit to do is enable us to be gentle in our speech. It's really powerful. And the reverse is true. Like if we are aggressive and attack, then that tends to escalate things. I had a really powerful experience of this years ago when I was on my P's. I was driving and I crested a hill and the traffic was right there. You ever had that situation? So you just locked up and I thankfully didn't hit the person in front of me, but the person behind me, whack, right up the back of my car. And as I looked in the mirror, I noted that the guy that got out of the car was a really big guy. And it seemed from the look on his face that he may have held me responsible for this moment in time. Now, I knew it wasn't, but that didn't change the fact. And acting probably out of fear rather than virtue, as he approached me with this angry look on his face, I said, is everyone all right? Is your family okay? Now, that's a rare moment of insight for me. and it diffused the situation. And the fact that he knew ultimately he was responsible, right? But our words can do that, can't they? They can either make things escalate up the escalation ladder, or they can bring a sense of peace and harmony once again. So we want a gentle, answer that turns away wrath. Then he says, the tongue of the wise adorns knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. I've pretty much commented on that, but just, you know, speaking about things that you know about and being humble when you don't know is a really good idea. It's a really good idea. You know, this section goes on in verse 3. So 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch over the wicked and the good. Years ago, after that experience that I told you at the beginning of this talk, of being found out and embarrassed by my own words, I tried to make it a maxim, although I've had varying degrees of success, to speak of others in their absence as though they were present. That's a good idea, you know, because when we speak about others in their absence, often we can focus on their negative traits. And, you know, if there's a kind of vibe in the room that everyone has a few of those stories to tell, we can start to build on those, and that becomes gossip. And the teacher of the Proverbs, he actually says that gossip's like a tasty morsel. It kind of draws us in. And suddenly we all kind of pile on. Not you, of course, but sometimes we can engage in that kind of speech because we get on a roll and we're part of a community. But this passage reminds us that God sees, that God hears, that he knows what we say. And I think that's really important, that we think about what we say and we think about others' reputations and we think about honouring others with our speech. That's a really big one, isn't it? You can wreck a workplace with gossip. You can spoil a church with gossip. You can destroy a family with that kind of speech, can't you? And so it's really important that we live and speak as though we had accountability to God. And you know why it's really important? Because we do. Because we do. We have accountability to God for our speech. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? In verse 4, he says, a soothing tongue is like the tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. As followers of Jesus, as practitioners of the way, as those who want to be a faithful presence, one of the things that we need to think about is the impact of our speech and our words. Do they crush? Do they silence? Are we more concerned with winning than the impact of our speech? Then these words are instructive, aren't they? We need to be wise in our speech and discerning, and we need to have an eye to the healing power of words and seek to practice healing speech. Recently, in this little room, actually, after our Bridge Cafe, we've been doing a parenting course, and we've had our parents from the school community and myself and the chaplains at the college have been part of this parenting course that five mums have come along, and it's been really good, and they've really gotten into the conversation. But one thing particularly hit me when we were moving through this, kind of reminded me of a few things as a parent that I'd maybe forgotten, but he was talking about when it comes to siblings, make sure you never use comparative speech and labelling. I was like, oh, right, yeah, I see what you're saying. And then it panned to this counsellor, and he, you know, he spent his time in talk therapy with adults, and he said, for so many of them, they're trying to live beyond the labels that they were given as children. When their sibling was called the smart one, or their sister was called the pretty one, and they bore a label that was not quite as good as the other. And it was just a reminder, you know, speech has power. It comes from childhood. Some words can be spoken over someone. And in their old adulthood, deep in the midst of their life, they find themselves thinking of words and being limited by them, being harmed by them. And just remind me, you know, words bear fruit, don't they? They have real power. They can destroy or they can heal. They can give life or they can bring death. And so we need to think about our words. Think about our words. So let's guard our lips. Let's prize gentleness and not be harsh. Let's use our words to bring healing and not to crush. If you find, for example, an area of self-awareness, if you find that people don't speak around you or that people seem really defensive around you, maybe you need a mirror. Do you know what I'm saying? Maybe you need to think about the flavor, the tone, the tenor of your words. Maybe you're aggressive. Maybe you shut them down when they start to speak, and so they don't feel the need to do it anymore. I want to draw our attention, because I've said some hard things, some heavy things, back to the gospel. Jesus is the Word. He is the Word. And His words are perfect and beautiful. You know, when I was talking earlier, maybe you're thinking, well, what is Marcus advocating? A kind of speech that doesn't address real issues, just kind of gushy and encouraging speak? No, that's not what I'm advocating. Jesus said tough things, didn't he? He was quite firm at times. So it's not about that. But it is thinking about the impact of our words. It is thinking about the net impact of Jesus' life. If He is the Word and the Word dies to self in order to be raised to new life, then our words should bring people life, shouldn't they? They should heal. They should encourage. They should inspire and not crush or wound. You still with me? We're about to close up, so it's all right. So our words have weight because in them, this is really upping the ante, if it wasn't high enough already, in our words is the power of life and death. And those who love our tongue will eat its fruit. In our words is the power of life and death. That's a stark statement, isn't it? It's a stark statement. Our words can either lift others up or they could tear them down. And we need to be the kinds of people, the kind of community that encourage one another with our speech, that bring healing and hope into people's lives and doesn't crush their spirit. Now, if you're a person who talks a lot, maybe sometimes you should talk less and listen more. For some of you, talking a lot is not a problem. For some of you, talking is a problem. And you know, not talking can be equally sinful. Because the absence of the words, for example, I love you, or I forgive you, can be just as powerfully negative as a sharp word, can't they? That's probably an aside, but it needs to be said. The words can be painful in the absence of them, where they should be spoken, or in the presence of them too much. They can be negative. So all that to say, words have the power in life and death. I'm going to tell you another embarrassing story about me, because I know you enjoy them. When I was a high school guy, I was pretty insecure. I had a good friendship group at church that I was so grateful for. Like, I can't imagine what my youth would have been like, but school was pretty rough. I knew I was at the bottom of the social ladder. I know it's really hard for you to imagine now. I found adolescence for me was a time where I was the most sensitive about what others said to me and the least sensitive about what I said to others. So that was just me. That's not a reflection of adolescence in general. That's me, right? And so it was a really hard time. I was walking through our quadrangle at school one day, and I don't know, I think I have a normal walk. Is it? Looks normal? It kind of looks normal, I think. Sometimes I limp without knowing it. That's just age and running. But this guy said, "Hey, look at Marcus. He looks like Virgil from the Thunderbirds." Now, that might have dated a bit, but there was this show called The Thunderbirds, and there was these puppets, and they had string, right? And for about 3 years, I was called Virgil. It caught on so much. And, you know, that really messed with my head. Like, any time I had to get up on a stage or do anything at school or walk through the... I used to dodge the quadrangle and walk through the halls because I was like, am I doing it right? And the funny thing about walking, like if you think about it, you become weirder, you know? And so it just piled on it, so that insecurity. And those words cut so deep, so powerfully. All that to say, words can bring life or they can bring death. And so I just want to encourage you to weigh your words and ask for the Lord's help. You know, this is really hard. This is a really hard thing to do. You know, when you're... I'm nearly finished, I promise, this time. When you're a runner, one of the things they tell you to do is to stop injuries is to look after your gait and run with the right cadence and stuff like that. And so you can watch all these videos about the right way to run. And you know what's really hard? If you've been running or walking a particular way all your life, and then suddenly you're being asked to do another way because your way is not good, it is really hard. I mean, I'm within 100 metres of massive concentration and effort. I find myself slinking back to my normal hobble. You know, like, it just... It's so hard to change something you've practiced all your life. And I think maybe our speech is like that. If we've been speaking in a particular way all our life, maybe we've been overly critical, maybe we've been... It's really hard. And what we need is the grace and goodness of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ to help us to guard our words so that they might give life. I want to read to you from that psalm in closing again. It says this. It says, "May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, Lord, our rock and our redeemer." Amen. God bless you.